This is the third session for Moodle MOOC. Today is June 8, 2013. The session is going to start in a couple of seconds. While we're waiting, I'd like you to look at this image. I taught Stripe how to whistle. I didn't hear him whistling. Well, I said I taught. I didn't say learned anything. And that's what it's about. And welcome to today's third session, actually second session for the Moodle MOOC. Today is June 8, 2013. For anyone who doesn't know, this is Nelly Deutsch. Good morning, and I'm not German. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night for those of you who should be in bed. And I see Dave Cormier. Hello, Dave. Good to see you. All right. So I hope that's the real Dave and not someone else coming in as you, like I came instead of Vince last time. All right. Okay. So something to think about, since today's session is about engaging others and engaging them for learning. All right, so if you can write in the chat box where you're from and where you are, whether it's morning, noon, or night, feel free to use the chat box as your chatterbox, okay? Just chat away. I use the chat box to stay awake, but since I'm talking, I don't need it. So we've got people from around the globe, and they'll be trailing in. Dave, it would be great if you could raise your hand. Only Dave, please. Raise your hand, as well as Ludmilla, who's here. Hello, hello, hello. All right, so today's session is really important for a number of reasons. First of all, to aggregate and to understand what's going on. And, of course, to appreciate confusion. Because I think confusion is great. Give me your thumbs up if you love confusion. Do you like confusion? Thumbs up. And it may just be my thumb. Okay, I see I've got some. So we love confusion, right? Oh no, some people don't like it. All right, so if you don't like it, try to see what it's like. You know, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe there's something good about confusion. You know, it's different. All right, so a little bit about the facilitators. As you can see, these are the facilitators. Nancy Zingrone, who's here with us. Jason R. Levine, are you here? If you're here, give me a big thumbs up there. Dr. Rema Sharma, who's here. Dr. Ludmilla Smirnova, who's here. Judy, if you're here, give me a thumbs up. Judy Brenz and myself. The presenters. So far, we've had Martin Dogiamis. Stephen's going to be presenting next week, I believe. And then we've got Van Stevens, who presented last time. Brian Alexander, Dave Cormier, who's here today. He's our guest speaker. John Graves is going to be talking the 22nd. And Maria Drozhikova, Dr. Drozhikova, who's going to be presenting on June 29. So it should be really exciting. Now, this is to calm everybody down. Those of you who don't like to be confused, who like things to be organized, and that's fine. Okay, I'm looking for this great book by David Weinberger. I don't know if you know it, but Everything is Miscellaneous and the Power of the New Digital Disorder. So, disorder. All right, so just a little bit about the Moodle MOOC, and Dave will be talking about that. He's had lots of experiences. So there are three basic areas, and you need to actually access two of them if you want to qualify for a certificate, or you can explore. Okay, so it's up to you whether you want to be limited to a certain area and you want to stay there, or whether you want to spread your wings and just fly around. So there's the Moodle Experience website. Moodle website, there are three courses, one for beginners, one for the managers, and one for experienced teachers. And then there's this, the live online sessions. I just got a message about a screen. YouTube. Okay. Does anybody see a YouTube video? Is there something blocking anybody's view here? Is there a window blocking anyone? Okay. There shouldn't be anything blocking. Oh, something is blocking you? All right. Is it something like this? If you see something like this, just simply put, don't be afraid to close it. Put an X on it. It's not part of the virtual classroom. It's an added part. Just don't be afraid to put an X on it, and it'll go away. Okay? And then I'll bring it back. Thank you. Thank you, Ludmilla, whoever prompted me on that. Thank you. All right. So there are two areas. This is the WizIQ course. It's part of the live sessions. You can go there for announcements and so on. If you're brave, you might want to go to the Moodle practice where you'll get the role of a teacher and then eventually become a manager or administrator of a Moodle. So stick to your course, okay, the Moodle experience and the syllabus. The syllabus is very, very important because it provides you with ongoing information, and you can add your comments, ask questions, and you get responses from me generally or anyone else who wants to respond. And the certificate, you'll get a certificate of completion. In order to get a certificate of completion, for those of you who want one, you need to finish one of the courses, just one, the beginners, managers, or the experienced teachers course on moodleforteachers.org. Okay, in addition, you'll have to view all these live sessions and blog about and reflect using an RSS feed generator. So if you don't have an RSS feed and you don't know where it is, just add your link to Fidity. Look it up, Fidity, and it's really easy. A little bit about the three courses. The managers is for people who've had experience with Moodle as administrators or managers or very experienced teachers with editing rights. Moodle for experienced teachers or teachers who've had experience editing. And for all the rest, there's Moodle for beginners. Okay, and you get badges, all right, and trophies and everything else. I created a video for this with all the information, so you should have received it. It's also on the syllabus, so you can get it there. So I'm just repeating for those who didn't get it. In addition, there is a playlist, a YouTube video playlist that's on the menu of each of the Moodle websites, and you can access it by going to Nellie Muller or find out how you can stop email notifications. If nothing works, get in touch with me and I'll give you a dummy email and then nothing will get there. Okay, there are three places where you share your tasks and that's out of your course so that everybody can benefit. So this is out in the open in the Moodle. Okay, this is where you share your tasks, whether you are a beginner, a manager, or an experienced teacher. And this is divided into the four sessions. Okay, so there's conversation, which was last week. This week is conversation on creating engaging activities. Next week is conversation on learning and teaching online. And the final week is WizIQ on Moodle for those who are interested. Okay, so you follow the weekly discussions. If you have any questions, you always get feedback. Anybody not get feedback, email me personally. All right, this week you had to work on questions. Asking questions is very powerful. As you've noticed, it really offers a lot of learning. Anyone who has learned nothing needs to ask questions, and then maybe learning will come. But even coming to the conclusion that you've learned nothing is learning. Okay, in week two, the task for week two is to get in touch with your peers and find out what they need. You're going to create engaging activities for them, not for you, for them. So you have to make sure that they know you, your students, and so on, so they can create really engaging. If you're not happy with what they create for you, keep asking them so that they will do what you need. So you'll describe your students, you'll choose people you want to work with, or you can work alone. Team up, discuss and learn about your peers' students, develop activities for your peers, share the activities again in the discussion area for the topic that I've showed you before. And you'll be working on digital artifacts, and if you don't know what a digital artifact, I shared this in a video. You can use whatever tools you want. Many of you have been doing this, and it's a pleasure to listen to you and to watch you in action. That's it. That's my part. And I'm going to pass on the mic to Dave Cormier. I don't have anything here, Dave, from you. So I brought something to share, and that is a little bit about Dave. Okay, so this is Dave, for those of you who don't know. And you can get rid of this if you don't want it, as I said. Okay, so I'm going to mute my mic.
The Massive Open Online Course is a response to the challenges faced by organizations and distributed disciplines in a time of information overload. It used to be that when you wanted to know about something, you could do a few things. You could ask someone, you could buy a book, you could try to figure it out for yourself, or you could call a school. If that school offered the course and the thing you were trying to figure out, you could go there and take it. You could get access to information about a topic. An instructor had combed through journals and books to pull the information together from a library. You might even find others who are also interested in the same things that you are. The MOOC is built for a world where information is everywhere, where a social network obsessed with the same thing that you are is a click away, a digital world. A world where an internet connection gives you access to a staggering amount of information. This video will introduce you to how a massive open online course is one way of learning in a networked world. A MOOC is a course, it's open, it's participatory, it's distributed, and it supports lifelong networked learning. In one sense, a massive open online course is just that, it's a course. It has facilitators and course materials, it has a start and an end date, it has participants. But a MOOC is not a school. It's not just an online course. It's a way to connect and collaborate while developing digital skills. It's a way of engaging in the learning process that engages what it means to be a student. It is, maybe most importantly, an event around which people who care about a topic can get together and work and talk about it in a structured way. The course is open. All of the work gets done in areas accessible for people to read and reflect and comment on. The course is open in the sense that you can go ahead and take the course without paying for it. You might pay to get the credit through an institution, but you're not paying for participating in the course. It's also open in the sense that the work done in the course is shared between all the people taking it. The material put together by the facilitators, the work done by the participants, it's all negotiated in the open.
I'm refreshing my page because I don't like the way it looks. I should be back.
You get to keep your work, and everybody else gets to learn from it. The course is participatory. You really become part of the course by engaging with other people's work. Participants are not asked to complete specific assignments, but rather to engage with the material with each other and with other material they may find on the web. You make connections between ideas and between you and other people. You network. One of the outcomes that people get from the course are the network connections they've built up through engaging with each other. The course is distributed, and all these blog posts and discussion posts, video responses, articles, tweets, and tags all knit together to create a networked course. They're mostly not found in one central location, but rather all over the internet in different pockets and clusters. There's no right way to do the course, no single path from the first week to the last. This allows for new ideas to develop and for different points of views to coexist. It also means that one of the side effects of a MOOC is the building of a distributed knowledge base on the net. The course is a step on the road to lifelong learning. MOOCs promote independence among learners. It encourages participants to work in their own spaces and to create authentic networks that they can easily maintain after the course finishes. A MOOC can promote the kind of network creation that lifelong learning is all about. The course part is just the beginning. And how can you go about finding one of these? Well, news that a MOOC will be offered usually spreads on online networks. People who have reputations for interesting skills or innovative thinking on a topic decide to collaborate by offering an open online course covering that topic. Anyone who wants to join in can. In a MOOC, you can choose what you do, how you participate, and only you can tell in the end if you've been successful. Just like real life.
I think that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. There's a clap. Thank you. That was Dave. And here is the real Dave, not the virtual Dave of that. Okay. That was done 2 years ago, I believe, in 2010. Hello, Dave. And you're probably trying
to... Hi there.
Ooh, that was loud. Are you trying to get...
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Are you trying to get your video up? Your PowerPoint presentation up or...
No, I'm not. I'm not going to use a PowerPoint at all today. We're going to have a full interactive session. We'll pull up the whiteboard and we'll all work together.
All right.
I don't think it makes any sense to have this many fun people sitting here. We got an active chat room, and I think we're fine to go. I have. Yeah. It'll be fine. It'll be good.
All right. Let me lower the volume on my end. Okay. You don't have to. I think your volume is fine. You don't have to raise your voice. Even though there are a lot of people.
I just turned down my mic.
That's okay. Did you turn it down in the WizIQ settings?
Yeah, I went in and changed.
Perfect.
Is that a little better?
Yeah, it's okay. Natural. Yes, okay, that's great. Oh. All right, so welcome
okay, folks.
To this MOOC,
thank
the
you.
Moodle MOOC.
Thank you.
I'll mute my mic and let you go ahead.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, folks, so we're going to have an interactive session here. Like I said in the chat room earlier, I am bored sick of talking from slides, and if I've got, I don't know how many people are in here, let's see, we've got 95 people here, so we're going to have lots of fun. So what I want you to do right now, I'm assuming, Nellie, can you give everybody the authority to write on the whiteboard? Because that would be great.
97?
I want 97 people on the whiteboard, that's what I want to see. Can we do that?
We can do it if there aren't any people that would abuse the system because they could take us to different places.
I'm not worried about it.
Oh, good.
You guys all be good.
Yeah, behave yourselves. Okay, I can always kick.
All right, let's go. So can I just ask everybody to make a giant mess on this whiteboard, please? I just want everybody to get accustomed to the idea that the middle of this screen then that we all own together. And it's and the point that Nellie makes is a really good one, because one of the things I want to talk about today is responsibility. I have a firm belief that a really good activity, and the topic of this MOOC, one of the main themes this week, is engaging activities. To me, you cannot have an engaging activity unless people have responsibility to their learning and to their participation in it. So I'm going to be really clear, I do not see 95 people writing on this whiteboard right now. I see about 7 or 8 people. That's better. Come on. A little bit more. Can I get some people trying to text out, trying to write stuff? Ooh, it's an unlimited whiteboard. How exciting. No permission yet. Okay, that's fine.
You'll get it.
Okay, I understand. It's coming. There we go. Yay. Okay. Angry faces, happy faces. All right. Hi, Tom.
That's how about Mookie faces.
Uh-huh. That's awesome. All right. So we're going to talk about a couple of things today. One of them is, it goes on nicely to the introduction that Nellie gave, and that's uncertainty. And I also think that uncertainty is very important to learning for two reasons. One, I think that overly structured learning design puts students in a place where they only feel like they can respond to things whenever it's organized for them. And if we're learning for practical purposes, geez, I love the way that's working right now. That's great. Thanks, everybody. If we're learning in a way that is only, okay, I know there's going to be a right answer to this, or I know there's a proper path to this, then when you take that learning and you go out into the world and you try to use it for whatever it's for, and I don't care if you're learning educational technology, I teach this to teachers, or if you're learning about literary theory or about building airplanes, no matter what you do, at some point in your actual practice, you're going to be confronted by uncertainty. I have no idea what you guys are going to do with this screen right now, and I'm fine with it because I've done this lots, and I'm ready for whatever eventualities happen as long as everybody is responsible, which is the second key here. So uncertainty, I think, is really important. The second part of this that I think is really important is responsibility. So when, for those of you who aren't able to get into the screen, I think that that's coming. I think you're maybe near the bottom of the list, and I know that that's getting sorted out in the background. Nellie's nodding her head. So don't worry about it. We'll get there. Responsibility is critical. So if your students are, if you're watching them and you're grading everything they're doing and they are not going to develop that ability to deal with uncertainty. Responsibility is a key point. So when I look at the possibilities that the technology offers broadly, and I mean, you look at the technology in front of us here, we have a chance to have 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 people all in the same place doing stuff. Those potentialities simply do not happen in the face-to-face world. There are some extra affordances, you might call them, extra advantages that you have with the technology that you can exploit to allow all kinds of crazy collaboration. So if I take a screenshot of this page, which I just did, there's no way to do that. And I mean, you imagine 95 people trying to sit around a table scribbling at the same time. It's not going to happen, right? So in an attempt to test our ability to be responsible here, I'm going to ask everybody to remove their pens from the whiteboard, finish the thing you're doing right now, and let's let it go. So if everybody would just take their fingers off the whiteboard, we can stop it scribbling around right now, stop the scanning, and then we'll go ahead and we'll start in on the actual discussions we're going to do today. We're going to move on. We're going to open. I'm assuming I can just open a whiteboard here.
Yeah, try? Sure. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You can. There's a plus. Do you see the plus sign?
I can.
You got it.
There we go.
Or somebody else did.
So we got a brand new whiteboard. Can I ask everybody to let the whiteboard go? Please stop using the whiteboard. I know there's a lot of you. Please stop using the whiteboard. I'm trusting all of you to hold off the whiteboard. Go back to the chat room. Thank you very much. Take the stars off the whiteboard, folks. Now, come on. Am I going to have to remove everybody's access?
That's going
to. There we go. There we go. Thank you. All right. So the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about uncertainty. Okay? So for me, when you hear the word uncertainty, and I want everybody to use text on the screen this time, so you'll see on the left-hand side on the whiteboard, there's the little pointy arrow, there's an up arrow, there's a pencil tool, and the next one down is text. So I want everybody writing in the board right now. So everybody should be using text on the board right now. Just the text button. Thank you for the V. Now, when I say the word uncertainty, uncertainty, what comes to mind? In education, we talked earlier, Nellie was talking about the challenges that happen inside of the education context. What does that uncertainty mean to you? Multiple languages. You know what? That's one of those things that does come up. Risk. You know what? That's so important. That step of risk, I teach mostly adult learners, in that risk that's involved in it is always a challenge. It's always an issue, right? Whenever you're dealing with learners, if you bring uncertainty into the classroom, it's always one of those things where they're going to resist, they're going to be challenged. How do you get feedback? You know what? That's a really good one, because with an uncertain classroom, it's very difficult to structure the feedback you're going to give. It's very difficult to make people feel comfortable. And it's very difficult to give them a sense of what they're going to be doing. Look at you guys. We've got some people in there who maybe need to have the responsibility conversation again. We're going to stay on this board, please, everybody. Challenge and confusion. Yeah, there's a lot of movement on the screen. There we go. We're getting a little bit better. Deal with uncertainty. That's good. Life is uncertain. And I think that's kind of the point that the uncertainty conversation comes to. So when I look at learning and I look at the possibilities of all this stuff, and we look at opening up the learning process so that everybody can participate, what it means is that our learning examples are far closer to the examples that we're using inside of in our real lives. So right, that uncertainty is something that we put in the classroom, it's something we demonstrate in the classroom, and then when we go out to confront it with it out in the real world, we're able to perform in a much better way. We got somebody who just wants to draw on whiteboard 6. Look at that. All right. That's good. So everybody should now have the writing tool. Now, so that uncertainty, and we're seeing it here, right? That uncertainty can blow a classroom apart. So right now we have probably 3 or 4 people in this room who are not participating appropriately. They're taking over, they're trying to explore in a way that doesn't allow everybody to participate. Which brings me to the second point that I said in the intro, is responsibility. So I'm going to take, we're going to move on to a new whiteboard here. I'm going to ask people to stop changing the whiteboards if they can. I'm sure there are some people who don't even know what that means. And I'm going to ask you, there we go, stop moving the whiteboard. Can you do it? There we go. Yeah. I wonder who it is. It's interesting. That's good. So, can everyone hear me? That's a good point. Maybe I should type that in. And people, stop moving the whiteboard.
We could do something else. We could ask the person who's moving the whiteboard, could you please raise your hand so I can remove you from the class?
So that issue of responsibility, what we do in our classrooms is we lock things down so that people can't take over and so that the unexpected gets washed away. If you look at, certainly in Canada, in the K-12 classroom, we take the cell phones out of the classroom so that people can't get in there and do stuff with it. We have, and we're going to transition to the Moodle discussion here in a second, but we have things set up so that we don't allow the people who want to move outside to be able to do that. And what it does is it does make it easier to teach. It does make it easier to structure a lesson. It does make it safer for the people who are in it. And those are important things. But what it means is that people aren't part of the group, right? That you've got a hierarchy. You've got one person in charge, and you're constantly trying to control down and trying to structure people, right? As long as that happens, you create a relationship, instructor and the instructee, where as soon as I'm not present, there's no more order, right? If I'm in charge of all the order and I'm in charge of the learning, then what you have is a situation where a classroom happens and the learning happens while I'm there and while I'm enforcing the learning and while I'm enforcing the structure. And when I remove the structure, and like we've done here, I mean, everybody was accustomed to having a structured situation. When you remove it here, the whole thing goes to chaos. And what we need, teacher is police, exactly. So what we need to do is be able to structure a classroom where we have room for the uncertainty, but that uncertainty is bounded by the responsibility of the students in it. right? Where you create a situation where responsibility is something you can depend on. And sometimes that takes a lot of patience. And we're looking at that right now, right? We've got a couple of people who are taking over a conversation, who are trying to do exploration. And that's interesting. I think it's, right? And some of those people, it's entirely possible they're not hearing. It's possible that they don't understand. But those things are fun. So let's take that idea of uncertainty, that idea of responsibility, and let's bring it to the discussion about Moodle, right? For me, I started using Moodle maybe 10 years ago, right? And what I did when I came to Moodle, it was like, it was a revelation because I was making websites from scratch. I was attaching them to discussion boards. I was doing all of this stuff where I was trying to create collaborative spaces for people to be able to engage with each other. And Moodle allowed me to do all of that without actually putting things together. So I moved into Moodle. I started teaching with it. And then I realized that one of the things about Moodle is it does a lot of those things that I was talking about earlier. It structures things. It puts them into topics. It gives you that order that provides a structure in the classroom. But at the same time, those structures are bounded by the course. They're attached to the course. They're attached to the hierarchy, right? So the Moodle, in most cases, is something that's owned by an institution. It's something that's owned by an instructor, maybe in rare cases. But it's not something that is about the student. It's not something that's owned by the student, right? So in many institutions that I've talked to in many different places where Moodle is used, Bill Smith is changing this. I wonder how people know that. Well, actually, I'm not illustrating.
Is the building of a distributed knowledge base on the net.
So, trying to see what tabs are open. Bill, don't touch anything. Their names flash. Yeah, Bill, don't touch a thing. That's exactly the point we're trying to make here. What we've got is a community that's self-policing, which is great. That's exactly what has to happen, right? So if people can actually tell who's flashing there, see who it is. Maybe Bill doesn't know that when he moves his, he's moving everybody's. And that's likely, right? So when you move your stuff here on the screen, you're moving it for everybody else. Okay. There you go. Teresa, that's hilarious. That's so true, too. Okay. All right. I think that's a good idea. Why don't we just keep one board open? Actually, I don't think I can close the other ones. That's great. So for me, coming to Moodle was both an effort in trying to organize it and having handy technology and having that structure put in place, but with the concern that the uncertainty that's presented with the internet and the possibilities of connection and the possibilities of having this open space where we can learn in a practical way isn't necessarily fulfilled, right? So this year, I'm teaching a course called Educational Technology and the Adult Learner. And the point of the course is to take teachers, educators from all walks of life, and they come from all over the place, and actually allow them to figure out that going to the internet is not simply a process of taking textbooks and copying them and putting them online, but rather a process of understanding the possibilities of the web and using them as effectively as possible. So we're going to close out the rest of them and go back in. That's
so names. They're not afraid. Look, Teresa, Squirrelly, you can see everybody's name as they're doing it, and yet that doesn't seem to stop anybody. You switch tab.
How interesting, eh?
Yeah, Manuel is now moving it. Everybody's name, you know, you're completely, you know, you're doing it in a clearly, your name comes up, Cecilia is drawing on freehand. It says Cecilia. So I'm wondering, you know, why people, even though we're seeing you do it, you know, it's not as if, that's interesting. Mm. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's fine. So when you're looking at that Moodle structure, for me, I'm trying to give them that space to be creative. I'm trying to give them the responsibility to build their own course, but at the same time, as we're seeing here, you need to build a little bit of that structure in. So when we got to week 4 of my class, we started looking at Moodle. And this is where, for me, with that background and my interest in openness and uncertainty and all that stuff, when you come to a course like Moodle, how do I allow my students the permission to be creative, the permission to have control of what they're doing, and yet still have it structured enough so that we don't end up with people moving all over the place? And that's the question for me. That was the challenge that I set for myself. How do I create an engaging activity that allows for them to do cool stuff and still do it inside of something that provides that top-down structure? So here's what we did. We opened up a Moodle course, and we started at the start. Making a mistake, instructor shut me down, and I'm not learning. I'm just looking through the chat room here for a second. There's a lot going on there. 111 people. Nice. So when you approach Moodle, the temptation is to structure that work as much as you can, right? To go in there, to be prepared, to have things set out so that you can control, so that you can guide people, so that they know what to expect. And this is some stuff going on here in terms of the chat room, where you actually have an expectation of what's supposed to happen so that you can achieve those things. So that's a traditional way that we approach learning. And I totally understand people's desire to do that. The problem is that we never get to a point where people feel a total responsibility to their learning, because the instructor takes over that responsibility. And here, we're finally getting to the point where most people have left the chat, left the whiteboard alone. We're finally getting to the point where, Jer, can you stop touching the chat room? Now I see the way the names are popping up. Anna, can you let it go? Can we get to the point where everybody stops drawing and stops moving the whiteboard? And then we can actually go to the activity I want to do on the whiteboard. It's funny, I've never had this happen before. I've done sessions like this all over the world, and I have never once had a group that didn't actually stop at some point playing with the whiteboard. Interesting. Okay. Mineko? Wow. Okay. So, that's amazing. Yeah, it's funny. Ignore the crazies and get to the point. I'll do just that. Oh, the new participants are joining in. That makes sense. Do the new participants actually have access to the whiteboard, Nellie?
No, they don't.
Automatically when they come in?
No, they don't.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But I think I got the... Yeah, it's amazing. Wow. You know, it's even people that I know personally that are doing this.
There are people that I know, too.
So, you know, amazing. All right, I think that's it. I think that we're nearing there. This is an excellent experiment on self-control by educators. Everybody here is an educator.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I know. Well, and it is, too. It's funny when you open things up, how it takes time for people to understand that it's their responsibility to other people. That makes, no, I don't think it's sad at all. I think it's getting to the point where we're all starting to understand. That's good. I think we've had a 20-second span where nobody's actually touched the whiteboard. Well, you know what, Carol, you make an excellent point, and that's one of the things about dealing with this kind of uncertainty when you take the controls off, is that there are a lot of reasons why people aren't, right? People don't understand the language necessarily. I'm having a problem, you know, I might be speaking quickly, and there are people in different parts of the world who don't necessarily have the English language ability to understand exactly what I'm saying. There's also a thing about teachers, and I mean, I teach mostly teachers, is that they don't like not talking. And there's a point at which a lot of them want to be able to come in and make the point. They want to come in and sort of explain to people what's going on and provide the context. So you've got somebody, Benoit, in here who said, you know, discover the tools, and he wanted to be able to talk, and I understand that, and that's cool. There's somebody else who wanted to say, oh, no, we're okay now. And they want to be able to provide that context for people. But that's about understanding your role and the responsibility we're trying to put in here. That's good. It's misbehaving. It is, but at the same point, this is exactly the point that I'm trying to make, is that there are a lot of possibilities here, but it requires people to work together. It requires people to understand their responsibility. And responsibility runs in three tiers, right? Whenever you're doing any of the, whenever you're developing any activity, you're in the middle of any learning process, there's a responsibility to yourself, and that's about working hard and about making sure that you understand why you've engaged in the learning process. There's responsibility to the people you're actually learning with right now. So for the people in here that somebody, on dit en français, je peux dire en français aussi, je peux. There's a responsibility to the people who we're working with. So we have a responsibility here between 106 people to all work together in a way that can be as effective as possible. That kind of responsibility happens in every classroom. The thing that's added when you go online is your responsibility to the wider world, right? So we not only have a responsibility to the stuff we're doing here, we have a responsibility to the people who are going to watch the recording, and we have a responsibility when we work online to the other people who may come across our work. And that responsibility might be the most important one. I mean, when we're talking amongst teachers, teaching's not just a question of telling people what to do and having them respond to it. It's about creating a better environment for people to work in. And I think that when I look at designing activities, and I'll get back to this point, but this diversion is awesome. But when I look at designing an activity for people, it's important for me that all of those levels of responsibility are being acted upon. It's important that people understand that their responsibility to themselves and their purpose for being here is clear. It's important that they understand that they're responsible to everybody. And we're starting to see that here. People are starting to say, you know, I understand why I'm here. And people are sort of being maybe nicer to each other in terms of the way that they're trying to police them, not just saying, be quiet, but trying to figure out what their issues are and trying to work with each other to pull that together. And that's really important. The third tier there, the responsibility to the world stuff, to me, that's our most important responsibility as teachers, is that to have the work that we do end up giving back, to participate in that wider discussion, to create a better discourse. If you look at my country right now, the United States is the same. Political discourse and the ability of people to work together has shrunk down. And I think that part of that is about the overpowerful structures that we use inside of our schools and inside of the things that we do. So now that we've all, I can't tell you how happy I am that we've gotten to the point where we've actually pulled this structure together. So, thank you. Now, for the course I was talking about, to go back to where we were before, we've gotten the responsibility piece in place. I'm really happy with that. I came to Moodle and I said, well, how do I create an activity for my students where I'm just not going to enforce the structure, where I'm going to give them the chance to have the ability to explore, to have the ability to create, to have the ability to deal with that uncertainty as they would, because my job is to teach them how to use educational technology in the classroom. And if I tell them to try to teach like me, I'm not identifying them as people, I'm not giving them a chance to be able to explore and do those kinds of things. So, what we're gonna try to do right now, Sigur, are you using the whiteboard? All right, so what we're gonna try to do is we're gonna try to go back to the whiteboard as a productive process. Is everybody ready? Are you all ready to try the whiteboard again? Okay. So what I would like everybody to do is use the text. That's the fourth button down on the left, the one that has a little A on it. Okay. Please clean it. Oh, that's a great idea. I will clean the whiteboard. I will create a new whiteboard. I will create a new one. So I'm going to get rid of whiteboard 6, and then we'll go back to whiteboard 7. Okay. Can you make the whiteboard smaller? It is hard that it moves back and forth. I agree. Text, please. No drawing. No drawing. Text. Text, please.
No freehand.
Somebody.
No
drawing like that.
We see the freehand.
Thank you.
Nipa freehand.
It's hard with a moving whiteboard. I think that adds a layer of challenge that I think makes it difficult for people.
Okay. Michelle, no freehand. Brian, Nadia, no freehand. Everybody's doing freehand here, I can see.
Wow. It's funny, eh? How the bonjour and everybody. Now, okay, now let's pull off the whiteboard again because we never actually got the structure in there. Pull it off and we'll start again. Because it's amazing. Everybody just wanted to talk. They all want to share. They want to say, you know, I'm from San Diego. It's amazing. People just want to, they just want to collaborate. It's so funny.
It's not funny.
I was gonna
it's human nature. That's what we are.
No doubt about it. We want to collaborate. I was going to lay the ground rules. I never quite got that far. Wow. Okay. Hey, look at that. That's good. Okay. So let's try pulling off the whiteboard again. Maybe I'll write that in and that'll help people. Yeah, I know. I know. I was going to lay down the whiteboard rules, but I never got a chance to say start. Just hold on a second. How funny. What have we got? 10 minutes left. Haven't actually gotten to the modal part of it yet. So... I know. They're very playful. I would say, Bill, that probably 70 or 80% of them have whiteboard access because they had it from the beginning. It is very real, Linda. You're quite right. The patience is not a problem. I mean, this is one of the things that you find. Like, one of the first activities I do in any of my classrooms is I get students to write a collaborative document in Google Docs, and I throw them all into it the first time to start that responsibility context, right? So we'll open it up. I'll say, everybody come to this document, and everybody put your name in.
Exactly what I do, Dave. Instead of using the whiteboard, I get a document, share it, and then make it public. You can do it right now. That's how I do it. And then I screen share. I get everybody off the whiteboard. Don't forget, this is Flash. So Flash is really sensitive. Google Drive uses another system. So do you want to do that?
I think we're past that point now. I usually do this in Collaborate. So the whiteboard is very similar. I think the problem with the shuttling back and forth means that people are looking for a place to write and stuff. So I think they're trying to do that stuff. Yeah, definitely extend the time. Well, Guadalupe, that's a really good question. And I mean, like I say, I didn't quite get to the Moodle talk I was looking to do, but I don't mind that. These kinds of situations happen a lot in any classroom,
real life.
Right? So if you've ever taught a group of, I started teaching with 5-year-olds, and you know this is the kind of thing. And I'm not calling people 5-year-olds. That's not what I mean. But when I walked into my first ever classroom, I had 12 5-year-olds, and one 5-year-old had a chair over his head and was just about to beat the kid next to him with it. You know, and you watch people who, particularly when they teach kids for the first couple of times, they have that.
Jason, I saw that. I see everybody.
So they have that. It's funny because Jason's one of the people who said he was excited for the presentation on Facebook. Jason, you're making a name for yourself. That's good. Not necessarily a positive name for yourself, but you're making a name for yourself. Jason, see, you know what's funny? Engage, baby. It's funny you say that, Jason, because there's two kinds of engagement. There's an engagement where what you're trying to do is create, it's like the clown in the back of the classroom, right? The engagement that the clown does is anything that they can do to be noticed, and so that people will laugh or people will pay attention, and sometimes those things are productive and sometimes they aren't. And engagement in that sense is engagement without responsibility. So you're not actually doing it in an effort to actually make everyone else better. You're doing it in an effort to actually stand out. And standing out has its, well, it is narcissism. Standing out has its ability, has its positives, right? And there's the leadership pieces there that are really important. But it doesn't actually move the learning process forward. And at some point, when we look at using, we're talking amongst a group of educators, we all kind of have a goal there that's not so much about narcissism, it's about learning from each other and being able to have everybody have room to participate, right? So, chaos is not, chaos is a funny word, right? It's one of those things where if you look at chaos as a positive, right, and you look at the structure that's deep inside of chaos and you look at the ways in which it can lead to creativity, those are beautiful things. But if you mistake that for simply doing whatever you want, that's not actually chaos. Chaos has structure to it, right? It has a purpose. Okay. So I've got about 10 minutes left. I don't know that there's enough time to actually go down the sort of Moodle lesson, the activity that I wanted to do before, which was, I will say, what I wanted to be able to do was take on the three or four steps in the process that my students are doing and actually have you guys respond using the whiteboard to those steps. So that first step is about allowing the students control over the Moodle environment. So my students are all teachers, and they're always all teachers whenever they work together. So they have groups, they build their own structure, it's their responsibility to create an activity that's engaging enough for other students to pick them. And they get, I wouldn't say graded based on the fact that their particular topic inside of Moodle is entertaining, but they're responsible for making that engaging. And when we talk about those periods of engagement, what I was going to do, and what maybe we can do on maybe Twitter after, or maybe in an ongoing conversation somewhere else, is ask for your opinions on the things that make different parts of the Moodle experience engaging and the ways in which we can encourage both the uncertainty and both the responsibility inside of those structures. So for me, get your lecture on Moodle. For me, there we go. We've got lots of uncertainty today. See that? The cat that just jumped across the keyboard. So, pretty cat, she sure is. So let's move to that Moodle MOOC hashtag discussion. And let's talk about going forward. Let's have some of those discussions in terms of the questions that we wanted to ask. So if you look at that, so uncertainty is good. Yeah. Yes, it can be as long as people are responsible, right? How do we allow uncertainty in a structured Moodle course? Kristen, you hate uncertainty. That's a really interesting point. Why do you hate uncertainty, Kristen? What is it about uncertainty that you find so much of a struggle? I don't know how fast you type. Maybe I'm putting you on the right. I hate not knowing what's going on. How many people feel that way about their classrooms? That being able to structure, that not knowing what's going to happen, that not knowing necessarily what's coming up next is something that you don't, you're not comfortable with. That is proven that students abuse it. Well, we've had some proof for that today, haven't we? But that's okay. I mean, if you look at, if this is something you're doing in your classrooms or it's something that you're interested in. Now we've got Nelly playing with a whiteboard. I saw that, Nelly.
I decided to add Snoopy because I think that's something that, you know, teachers aren't aware of, the fact that, you know, it's not about teaching, it's about learning. Mm-hmm. And having control is really, you know, it's equal to teaching as far as I'm concerned. And I think the focus should be on learning and what you're getting. And maybe many of us are afraid. Maybe we're afraid of allowing others the freedom to learn. Because what does it do for us if we let somebody play around and goof around?
What's interesting, you know, Bill makes that point in the chat room where he says, if everybody has control, no one has control. That really depends on how you, how things work out. So the responsibility thing is not something that happens right away. It's clearly, you've got a group of people who don't necessarily engage with each other all the time here. It's an awful lot easier in some sense to build that kind of structure when you're in a face-to-face classroom. People are far less likely to do the face-to-face equivalent of jumping up and down and shouting when everybody is there looking at them. That's one of the things that takes sometimes longer to build inside of a digital environment. So uncertainty certainly allows, I mean, we see this in discussion in other comments in major magazines and newspapers and stuff, right? Where people who would normally not act in that way go out to those spaces and act in sort of really unreasonable ways. And I mean, Bryony, uncertainty causes wasted time. Well, to some degree, it might. I mean, and some people, you're going to find that people's response to this particular session, about half the people are going to say that this is the worst session they've ever been in. And there's going to be another half are going to say it was really exciting, I saw lots of possibilities. And then another group somewhere in the middle is going to say, well, you know, it would have been nice to hear the rest of it. There we go. We're seeing that, oh, that was a really good session. And then there are probably some others. There are some who left, who sort of spoke with their feet and walked out. And then there are going to be another group who are going to say, you know what, this is just nonsense and there should have been a structured talk. If anybody is interested in hearing me do a structured talk, there are 100 of them online. If you want to, I mean, I can drop a link in now, one I did yesterday.
Now I've got one here too.
Yeah.
A 30-minute one that you did at your university, if anybody's interested.
Oh, sure. The one on MOOCs, the one I did a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know.
There's lots and lots and lots and lots of
distributed knowledge.
Who knows? No, it's not that one. I don't know. One of them, anyways. But yeah, there are lots of them online. Yeah. And I think that's really important what you're saying here. You know, there is value, but we don't want to place value on, say, conversations. My students, I teach in a high school, my students love when we talk. They're never going to say, what a wasted time, you know, we talked. No, that's what they come to school for. They come to my classes because they want to have a chance to speak, because they said, in all the other classes, we have to listen. And we don't want to listen unless we can talk. You know,
yeah.
So,
and yet adults
are different. But adults are different, Dave. Adults want to come and say, I learned something. You know, I can now do 2 and 2 is 4.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been
and
a waste of
that's
time.
That's always the first deconstruction of my classroom. So I teach teachers. So they come in and they say, well, what are we supposed to learn? And I say, I don't even know you yet. How am I supposed to know what you need to learn? Right? I can help you through this process. I know lots and lots about, I know lots of really great educators. There are lots of people I can bring in depending on what it is you're looking for. But until we know each other, I can't tell you what's going to get you to the place you need to get, whatever that might be. Right? So there's a broad structured curriculum, I suppose, to the classroom I teach. I mean, I teach educational technology. But each one of my students comes out of my class with a totally different approach. They write learning contracts where they decide what it means for them to learn. And then as we go along, we get halfway in, they go, oh, can I change my learning contract? I want to do more now. I want to do this other thing because now I saw this thing and I want to do. What I want them to come out with is not 2 plus 2 is 4, but wow, you know what? I can do any math I want. And that's the next level up. That's what happens when you bring responsibility in, is that people can actually choose. When they're confronted with, oh, I don't know what to do about this, they can go in and make decisions about their own work. They can make good decisions, not always, but it's that ability, the confidence. And I got a blog post. I got a blog post that was written by one of my students. I read it this morning. This week we're doing software evaluation. I'm going to pop this into the chat room here. His name is Barry. Barry's a great guy. He's an educator. He's somebody who has been doing this for, you know, a reasonable amount of time and has totally left the technology out of the spectrum. And he was very frustrated the first couple of weeks because I wouldn't tell him what he was supposed to do. I wouldn't give him step-by-step instructions. I wouldn't give him the 2 + 2 = 4. And a lot of the stuff that I give my students, here's the textbook for the class. Textbook. A lot of my, let me just pop that in there. They do the learning contract on the second day. So the first day they do a reflection to answer Kieran's question in a chat room. They respond to it on the second day. So this week, in reading the material for this week, it's the fourth chapter in that book, he came back and finally said, oh my God, I'm starting, you can feel it in the blog post. He's saying, it's about connecting with people and asking them and working together with other people. And then whenever I'm going to be confronted with trying to learn something about the topic you're doing, about educational technology, then all I need to do is use this stuff that I'm developing, and then I'll be able to do it, right? And that's that next level up, where being patient with him, I mean, super easy guy to be patient with. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. But being patient with the teaching process, not getting upset, I'm gonna give this up. I'm gonna, like here today, you know, not give it in to the fact that it's not doing. We're gonna get to that place. That's where the real magic is, right? And then you get them not learning the piece by piece thing, but because we got access to all this content and they can learn all this stuff on the internet, make all these connections, we don't need to have all those things happen in the classroom. We as teachers don't need to be the people who give all this stuff over. We need to give them the skills they need to be able to do it on their own, to be able to confront uncertainty on their own. So there's the end of my rant. What a crazy presentation this has been.
Dave, thank you. I share everything you've said, which is one of the reasons why I wanted you to speak. I watch your videos, and I know that there are tons of people who disagree with you and I, but we share. One of the reasons I got my doctorate, you know, which I think is a farce because, you know, I mean, even though I worked hard and everything for my dog, but the reason I got it was to prove that even someone with a PhD, such as myself, with years of teaching experience, can say what you're saying and get away with it. Because if you say it, mm-hmm. you know, people don't really accept it. Well, they're starting to, because what's happening in the world today is that it's not the educators who are making the difference. You know, in Coursera and other others who are coming up with developments, they're not educators. They're people who are interested in education, and they're making the difference. So it's not going to be professors who are going to move things. It's going to be everyone. It's going to be my students who are in high school or my college students. They're the ones that are going to make the difference in education. And not because they've studied education, but because intuitively, we all know what it's all about. We know that learning is not structured. We don't learn that way, but we fail no. to, you know, we're afraid to say it. So I say, well, say it.
Totally, totally. I think a lot of people, and then there's a couple of people in here in the chat room that I think are taking that position where they think of this as sloppy and a waste of time and stuff. And I understand. In that position, I have great respect for people who think that their professionalism is structured around working hard and being prepared for class. I think that's totally respectable. I actually write a textbook for my class. It's not a question of not being prepared, but I'm trying to leave things open so that they can be responsible to their learning. It's a different approach. Think of it unprofessional, because when I look at the things that I've learned that are important, and I look at the things that I know and that people come and ask me my advice for, I know how I learned them. I know how I learned to cook. I know how I learned to park. I know how I learned to evaluate technologies. I know how I learned to stand up in front of 400 people and talk to them. It's effort. It's by communicating with people, learning in little bits and pieces, learning how to bring things together. All of those things, they happen slowly. It's messy. You get in there, you try and figure it out. All of learning is like that. All of it. You know, there are very, very few things that are simple, that respond to best practice, that are step-by-step, that are of any real value, right?
Thank you, Dave. Look at the comments. I hope you're watching the comments. There are a lot of people that appreciate that, and they're saying that this is the best lesson they've ever had, because it's about how, it's about you. It's not about Dave. Davis has his own learning, process. Whatever he learns, and he's learning every single second of his life, and so is everybody else. But we're not learning the same things because we're different. We're different people.
That's right. Yeah, and throwing into a box is not, to me, it's not a solution.
That's right, even though we are boxed now.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly a box on the screen here.
Exactly. That's right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you for contributing to the fact that learning needs to be open. It is open. It's not that it needs, but we should allow learning to be. Okay? I think Shakespeare said it really well. Let it be. Okay? Or not be. Okay? So let learning be. Let our students learn. Thank you. And that's what the MOOC is about. It's about being in that atmosphere of, discertainty, uncertainty, disorder. That's what it's all about. Thank you.
On that note, thanks, everybody. I'm going to go and feed my kids lunch.
Right. Oh. There they are.
Bosey, come here for a second. You can say goodbye. Come here, Bosey. Come here, baby. You can say bye to people on the screen here. That's my Posey. Can you say hi?
Wow, hi Posey. You look beautiful. Bye.
Uh-huh. Did you say hi? Hi.
She doesn't see anybody. She only sees Nellie. But there are a lot of people here who are watching your lovely daughter.
Yeah, there are people from all over the world saying hi, Posey.
Yeah, can I get a screenshot of that? Wow, that is absolutely beautiful. There. Bye, I'm closing the class. Thank you, Dave. You're welcome to join us.
Hi, everybody.
The hashtag to continue with Dave. Dave is Moodle MOOC. Okay, there's the hashtag. Dave, join us. Okay, after you feed your kids. There's the hashtag Moodle MOOC. Okay, so everybody, let's tweet. And you're welcome to join us, Dave, on the MOOC. And try to make sense if you want, or just, have fun. Bye.
Sounds great. Bye-bye, guys.
Thank you.
Say bye-bye. Say bye-bye.